Tonight on the show, we're joined by Jacob because Ashley left us and she stomped out of the room angrily and said, I'm never doing this show again. That's a lie. She's at the beach relaxing. But Jacob's here, and we're going to talk about our factoid, a man who smuggled a lot of money for some big corporations, a Florida man who got in some trouble for getting in some trouble, and also a man whose business was cut short, if you know what I mean, and a woman who needs to go back to biology class. All this and more on tonight's episode of Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, episode 462 for March 28th, 2019. Therapy Bacon. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. Yes, the show that brings you the latest and greatest non-crazy news from all over the planet. We are here tonight to bring you that news wrapped up in a sweet little gift for you to open and hope that it's not that weird t-shirt from Big Johnson from your uncle that you're just like embarrassed to show everybody because you're like, why did I get one of these? I'm like 12. Well, we're not going to do that to you. We're going to give you quality, good stuff, one of those good old Saks Fifth Avenue button-downs. Actually, no, it's not. It's a bunch of Legos, because that's what we know you really want. A bunch of Legos. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of the microphone is the one, the only, the amazing, Jacob.
What up?
Jacob will be standing in for Ashley today. He is piled on the glitter on his face. He is ready to do everything that Ashley typically does, which is be the nonsense part of this entire show.
Mascara and highlighter. Just caked it on tonight.
Mascara and highlighter. Yeah. So you took like an actual like highlighter of yellow and we're just like,
yes, highlighter of yellow and green. Actually, Steven, speaking of green, I still have this green sheen on the top of my hair. And I was at a bar last night, or it might have been the night before, and somebody said, is your hair green? Or it's like, it's got a green tint to it. And I'm like, nope, I don't know what you're talking about. I think you lost your damn mind.
Yes, I recently went to the Fukushima nuclear plant meltdown zone.
And had a lab accident.
Yeah, I was dancing around and I fell into I was recently touring Ace Chemical when Batman showed up and kicked me into the vat. The bat kicked me to the vat, if you know what I mean.
And the only thing I have to show for it is this green hair.
This green hair didn't go crazy or nothing, Jesus.
That's right.
So, man, oh man, Jacob, how have you been?
Man, I've been traveling. Traveling sucks all the life out of you.
It does. It is soul-sucking.
It wears you out. Just wears you out.
Yeah. Did you have to? So you flew on planes.
I did. I flew on planes.
What's your airline of choice?
Delta. I'm a Delta guy.
Delta. Yep. They get you there.
I think I do Delta because of the miles. I get pretty good number of miles. I just looked yesterday, and apparently Ashley and I can go somewhere for free now.
What?
Yeah, we both can get round trip tickets because I've got that many miles.
To anywhere?
To just about anywhere. I looked from here to, was it San Diego or San Francisco? One or the other, and both of them would be paid for through miles.
Well, San Francisco is a butthole. Yep. So go somewhere that's not there.
If I went anywhere in California, it would probably be San Diego. San Diego is just gorgeous, as long as you stay on the northern half.
You spent some time there in your early days, sowing your wild oats. You weren't sowing any oats.
I wasn't sowing no oats. Man, San Diego is a beautiful place. There is so much to do in San Diego. And then you got the cliffs just above that and La Jolla area and Torrey Pines and that area. And then if you go a little bit east, you get to the mountains. It's just a beautiful area, man.
Yeah, man. I would love to go there. Some of the bands I used to follow back when I was a young, hip high schooler were from that area. That was the Southern California renaissance of music. Mm-hmm. Every town has their time. Like, there was a Jersey group of bands. There's your Seattle grunge era. Then there's your San Diego 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere's got their jam. I think we need to do an Irish wristwatch Vegas trip.
Oh.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you, me, Wally and Chris and Lando, find our way to Vegas, and we do one of them Vegas trivia competitions.
I think it would be fantastic. You know, you can make it to Vegas for like $200.
Oh, it doesn't cost. It's a one way. I mean, it's a one way. It's a nonstop flight.
It is just cheap as crap. And then a lot of the hotels, casinos, have these ridiculous packages just to get you in there and gambling.
Yeah. And so. I mean, I'll spend a dollar or two gambling. I've played a lot of blackjack on Red Dead Redemption 2, so I feel pretty good.
Yes, you now know how to play blackjack, and you know how to play Texas Hold'em.
Oh, can we play Texas Hold'em soon on a stream, like with everybody? Ooh. That would be cool.
Let's do it.
Let's find a way to make that happen. I have these playing cards right here, and they need to be broken in.
If we do it on a stream, though, what's probably going to have to happen is you're going to have to find a program to do it.
To switch cameras and look at everybody's cards?
Switch cameras, look at everybody's card, and then it would also have to be on like a 5-minute delay so that whenever we're watching the stream, nobody could see the other's cards.
Oh, I see. So we need a producer.
Yeah. Well, maybe not a producer. So a lot of people will stream themselves playing poker online because, of course, you know, after Black Friday, there's only like 2 states in the country you can play online poker, which is just the dumbest thing on earth. But if you want to play online poker, go to Las Vegas and anywhere in Nevada, or go to New Jersey. Those are the 2 places you go.
Well, those are the 2 places that are heavily they have Atlantic City, right? And then Vegas. And Nevada is basically do whatever you want as long as you're 2 consenting adults.
Yeah. But so online, it's a completely different animal because what they've had to do is make apps that are specific for different states.
Taxes.
So like World Series of Poker has a New Jersey app and you have to verify your residence in New Jersey to be able to use the app so that you could then gamble online.
I think, man, it feels like it should be easier to be addicted to something and waste your life on the internet. You know, like why they got to step in and make it harder for me to lose all my hard earned money? I don't need their protection.
I mean, we're back to our libertarian roots over here. Just let people do whatever they want. If they want to, I mean, why do we let the Indian reservations gamble their lives away and put up casinos everywhere they want to go, but it's not good for the rest of us?
I don't understand. If I want to shoot up heroin, be gay, gamble online and do whatever, you know, and smoke some weed and fire some bullets all at the same time, you know, that's my jam.
Hey, go do it, man. There's a place in, I don't know, everywhere. There should be a place in Alabama that's just right for you then.
Yes, I don't really.
Might not be anybody around because they probably, one, don't want to hang out with you, and 2, get shot. But that's okay.
Yeah, it's really like I don't want to do any of those things. You know, more power to you if, you know.
Yeah.
I'm straight, married, don't do drugs, don't really feel the need to go shoot guns. But I don't want to infringe on your ability to do the things you want to do.
If you want to go do that, go do it. I mean, come on. Stop it, people.
Fine. Everything's fine.
Everybody speaking of it, you mentioned gay earlier, and I read a news article in preparation for this show, and it didn't make the top 5, so it didn't make our notes. However, China has censored the movie Bohemian Rhapsody so much that they've taken all of the gay references out. They've taken every song that had anything to do with gay, any kind of gay writing whatsoever, they've taken out of that show. And of course, the folks who are watching it in China are just going, what in the world is this crazy ass movie? Because none of it makes sense.
Oh,
there's
right.
There's so many plot holes. They have no idea what they're talking about. They just think it's just this crazy, ridiculous, stupid movie.
There's not even that much like, so I watched it. You know, and I think like 2 dudes kiss maybe 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe they hold hands once. It's not very explicit in terms of like Brokeback Mountain was probably gayer than Bohemian Rhapsody.
I mean, hold on, wait. Brokeback Mountain, that was as gay as mainstream gay as you can get, right?
But there was more boobs in Brokeback Mountain than there was gay people. That was the first time Anne Hathaway's boobs were on TV, I think.
Oh, really?
And then after that, her boobs were on every movie that she could be in. It's like, okay, we get it. You're not the Princess Diaries. You're boobs. We understand. We
opened the floodgate. Release the house!
She's like, boobs! And it was like, oh my goodness, that she was the Princess Diaries. And then now you're just like, oh, it's Anne Hathaway again. Guess she's got her boobs out.
Oh, we're going to go see a movie at the theater. It's an Anne Hathaway movie. She's got to have her boobs out.
I have 4 foot tall boobs on the screen. Erwith, thank you for the bits.
Nice.
Yeah, but I don't understand why they would block that in China. I guess that China, did you know it's illegal to be obese in Japan?
I did not.
Yeah, there's a law against obesity in Japan. I heard that on a podcast here recently.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, that kind of makes sense. I don't think there are any obese people in Japan.
Hmm.
I thought it was maybe dietary, but it appears to be a government restriction.
Well, I wonder if it's a government restriction or just the way that they carry themselves, the way they handle themselves and the way they approach not only their health but their lifestyle in general. I mean, you don't see too many overweight Japanese people just because they're always running somewhere, going somewhere, doing something. I feel like they're the most active community ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you see the same thing in the U.S. in cities like where people walk a lot. Like,
yeah.
There's like 3 overweight people at my company's building. Like, everybody's, you know, I mean, most of them are dudes,
yeah.
But like, everybody's wandering around in their yoga pants.
Yoga pants!
Yoga pants all the time.
I don't know about that, though, because I spent the week in Minneapolis, and Minneapolis is a very, what's a good way to put it? Cultured
active
city, and a lot of people walk, and a very health conscious city. And I saw a good percentage of people that were overweight there.
But it's cold there.
It's cold
as
butt.
Winter, like they can't go outside.
They were talking about the polar vortex from this year, where it got down to -30 a couple weeks ago. I mean, I was there about a month ago, whenever it was -15, and that was cold. I don't remember ever being in cold that kind of cold weather.
Oh no. And even like here, I'm like, it's about 60 outside, that's cold. Am I gonna take a walk or not? Because I'm a lizard. I need to go outside and lay on the pavement.
Yeah, like, with the sun beating down on you as you're laying there just going, soaking up the rays.
Yeah, because we're at the beach and Stephanie's like, it's cold, or it's nice weather, this is the best kind of weather for the beach. I'm like, it's 65, you can't even get in the water. The water's freezing. I need to walk outside and just immediately sweat. And she's like,
yes.
Then you get like the swamp booty and it's all bad. And I was like, but you get used to being swamp booty and it's fine after that. And then
did you just say swamp booty?
Swamp booty.
For all you playing at home, that's called swamp ass. But Steven refers to it as swamp booty.
It's swamp booty. I have principles to uphold. But yeah, you need your monkey butt powder to keep everything dry back there.
Mm-hmm.
And before you get home and you say hi to the missus, if you know what I mean, you go take yourself a shower.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get your swamp booty all over everything.
Nope, you need to clean everything up before you meet up with the missus.
Yeah, get all your crotches washed off there.
and your pits, because
your pits.
You know, especially if you've had a hot day.
Yeah, you need the pit wash and the butt wash and the foot wash. And before you know it, so there's our advice to you people.
Yes.
Speaking of, coming up a little bit later, we're get your questions in.
Yep.
We're going to be trying to answer some difficult life issues for you guys. And
if
Tater and D-Wayne's first let us help you. Help us help you segment.
That's right. Help us help you. If you have questions in your life that you need advice on, Tater and D-Wayne are here for you, bro.
That's right. I don't know how you're going to submit those because we're already using the show bot for show titles, but hey,
just
put them in the chat and sub.
Put them in the chat and
sub will tell us what to answer.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. So speaking of Minnesota, man,
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you a story.
Oh boy. Hold on. Why don't I have a story time button on here somewhere?
Like, you need a story time. It's not an I'm as mad as hell button. I got one of those coming up later, so get ready for
all
that.
All right, I'm ready. Yeah.
This one's story.
Okay. Here's one. I got you a story. There we go.
Oh, that's beautiful. Ashley's going to love that one. But no, my story is about Minnesota and people in Minnesota. So I was working with a company yesterday, and I was there at the facility, and we were just having a great day, and a lot of them were like, hey, you know, what are you doing afterwards? And I said, well, I got no plans. And they're like, well, let's take you out for a beer. All right, then.
Yes.
I mean, I've never wanted to turn down a beer, so I'm going to say, all right, then. So we went to this place called Wicked Wart Brewing Company. By the way, if you ever go to Minneapolis, just outside of Minneapolis, great brewing company, Wicked Wart. So I walked in, and I hear like a kind of a loud noise, and then I start listening into this noise, and it's 062.
B13.
Dude, at this trendy craft brewery, they were having bingo night. Bingo night. And I where we're at, you don't see bingo nights except for down at the bingo hall in the middle of Eastern North Carolina, the 50 miles away. But where they're at, bingo is a lifestyle. So I walk in, and there's a mid-20s couple over here just having a date night talking bingo. And then right next to them is like two 90-year-olds playing bingo with their 18 cards all around them. And then you look over here, there's a family of four, and they're playing bingo. And you look over here, and there's two 60-year-old men that are buddies that are playing bingo. And you look over here, and they're coworkers just cutting up playing bingo. And I'm like, this is like a community thing that they do. That's like straight out of the 1970s. We're good, clean, and wholesome folks playing bingo.
That you think they're good, clean, and wholesome. Were any of them using a dauber shaped like a penis? Because if they were, they're not nearly as clean as you think. Just taking it and hammering it on those squares. Just big wang dingo.
The bingo cards they were using were not the squares. They were the actual flip ones. You know, the little red flippy things that you flip over the numbers?
Big dingo bingo. Yeah, no, the ones they flip over. You can use two of them.
Oh, it was so good. But it just reminded me of the 1970s. And
yeah.
I got to tell you, those people up there are just different, Steven. They're different. They're so accommodating, and they're so gracious, and there's not a single soul up there that had a mean thing to say about anything. I left there in a more positive spirit than I've ever left out here. Everybody was in a good mood, and I'm like, holy crap. I was talking to one lady, and she fosters kids. That's what she does. She's got two children of her own, and she fosters four other kids, and they just get dropped off in the middle of the night. She's always up at the courthouse. She's always up at the courthouse for something dealing with one of the kids that she fosters. And, you know, I talked to her about it, and I'm like, what in the world possessed you to do that? Because that's a hell of a commitment. She's like, it's something that you do, right?
They don't think about it.
They you got kids, so it. Why wouldn't you just bring in a couple more? I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah, yeah. Those people are amazing because they've found a way to get out of their own way when it comes to needing to do good. We involve a lot of fears and anxieties.
Yeah.
And they just go, took more kids. Take care of kids. Kids need care.
Yeah.
Do it, you know?
Like, hey, if I got one, why not have five, right?
Yeah, I've got the one, and I'm like, well, if we only have one, we've got room for others that might need more care than we're not going to have two, but right. We have room for two. If we needed to care for two, we could do that.
Yeah. And you have the money, the love, the room. You got all of that for more.
And the thing, it's just whether or not you have the... Yeah, you mostly need the love. That's what they need. They don't need your crap money. They just need somebody to hug them.
That's right.
Everybody needs a flipping hug, man. If you hugged people more, people would be happy more, and you wouldn't have so many bad things going on. Because everybody would be like, I mean, really, at the end of the day, I don't think anybody wants to get in a fight. I was thinking about that today. Jacob, do you want to fight somebody?
There's one person that I wouldn't mind fighting.
But if it came to fisticuffs, would you be like, I really actually want to punch you?
I want to punch somebody. No, huh? That's not me. I mean, it's deep down in my core. That's never been me. I mean, I joke because, you know, I've got nine bosses and eight of them are assholes.
But you don't actually want to run the risk of going into a situation where you are both going to start swinging at each other.
Yeah. So I've got.
I don't think anybody wants to actually get punched in the face. And if you don't want to get punched in the face, you don't want to punch anybody else in the face. So this thought came to me because I was listening to a podcast where they were discussing World War II, and one of the host's fathers was a World War II fighter pilot. And flying back towards the end of the war, back to base over enemy territory, he could see a German pilot flying towards him. And they were both flying towards each other, and they'd both been out probably patrolling all day. He'd been out at least 4 hours patrolling and was low on fuel. And he's just flying. He's like, ah, crap.
And the pilot with this other guy.
Yeah, and then the pilot tipped his wings, and the other guy tipped his wings, and they were like, okay. And they were. I was just like, that's two people deciding, F this war. I'm tired. I don't want to die. He doesn't want to die. For people that are so far above us, they don't care if we're alive or dead. Let's just pass each other and pretend this didn't happen.
Right.
You know?
Like, see, that's one of the best stories, too. And what was that on, by the way? What podcast was that on?
So there's a podcast called the next America's Next Top Podcaster, and they recently had to do a podcast challenge where they did an educational podcast. Okay. And so one of the women who's on one of the teams had a story about her dad had diaries from when he was in World War II, kept all kinds of diaries about the war, very intimate personal details about things that occurred. That you might not have, like a historian's treasure trove, you know, like personal story of a particular pilot that wasn't awarded crazy things, or, you know, he's just a guy in the service. And he wrote this story down, and she just repeated it on the show. So that's where I heard it. But Art of Manliness had a similar situation in a show I listened to today, where two tankers, one was a just incredibly good American tanker, and the other guy was a German one. And the German one was like, screw this place, gets out of his tank and runs away because he knows he's dying for people that don't care about him. And then he gets captured and ends up saving his life because the U.S. was going to obliterate him.
Yeah.
And then in years later, 70 years later, he meets up with the tank driver who he was was fighting against. And they were like best buds, like Skyping over the phone, talking about the war. They'd gone back to where they actually had fought each other and was like, this is where I was when you were aiming at me. And this is where you were. And we're telling each other stories about what we were feeling and how that was going. And it actually helped them both recover from extreme PTSD that they'd had over the years. Because they could talk about, you know, this event where both of them could have killed each other.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It makes you go back and question, man, we were really dumb for doing this, weren't we? I mean, wars are just, you're a good dude, and I enjoy hanging out with you. Why are we fighting? Because somebody told us to.
Yeah, they had to do. And this guy, he was like, he wasn't fighting for Nazi rule. He didn't really jive with what the Nazis were doing, but he was drafted, much like a lot of people were, and he had to do it because he was worried about keeping his family safe. So it came down to he wasn't fighting for Germany so much as he was fighting for his own personal slice of family there. And he was just like, this ain't – they're not going to come get me if my tank blows up.
Right.
You know, I'm stuck here. Anyway, it's a lot more to it. I highly recommend the latest Art of Manliness to hear about more veterans who deserve anyway, is great. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I'd love to hear perspectives. It would be awesome just to sit down with a couple of vets and hear their perspectives on not only why they were in the military, why they fought wars, why they felt the need to even be in those positions and join the military. A lot of them were forced into those positions, and it's just fun to talk about those things whenever when you're able to actually talk to folks and hear what their perspectives are.
Oh yeah, and the big war, World War II, was a time when the army, like the ratio of men to going into the army was incredibly high. Like everybody flipping went, and it was because you were fighting against an evil force.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they were encroaching on everybody. It wasn't like they were trying to earn back land they wanted. It was there was like Alexander the Great conquering everything.
Yeah.
And it was bad news.
But there was a different mentality back then, in my opinion. There was we fought in a war for our country because we truly do have allegiance to our country. I'm not sure that is still as prevalent as it was back then.
Well, yeah, I think some of that probably goes along with just a constant swath of opinions trying to infiltrate your brain rather than a central ideal. It's a very complex thing going on. I think one of the points that they made, and we'll move on to actual funny news here in a second, but one of the points they made was like the Kardashians are incredibly popular now for just look at how hot I am or how rich I am. And it's like these veterans who went and fought and gave their lives and sacrificed so much, like in World War II in particular, at least in this example, like this guy was a major hero, one of the best tank drivers and best decorated tank drivers in World War II, came home to no fanfare. Got off the train, walked home, knocked on his parents' door, went in and kept it to himself for 70 years before somebody found him and was like, let's write a book about your journey, man.
And
like
your this experience,
is,
right.
This is crazy. You did all this stuff and you got nothing. And then it makes you really puts in perspective the idea of following Khloe Kardashian on Instagram and going, look at this amazing human. And it's like, no, they're a monkey in a cage. And you're just, you're excited to go, oh, look, their dress is nice. And it's like these people out there gave everything and got nothing. Other than, like, this guy didn't even wear his veteran's hat or anything. He just didn't. He was remarkably humble. And they're finding out that he was, like, incredibly decorated, had the most kills or most successes, is probably a better way of putting it, of any of the other tank gunners or drivers out there.
Right.
Got nothing. Nothing. It's wild. So, anyway, respect to the people who fought and did their thing in that war and any war beyond that, man. Like, it's a...
Mm-hmm. Completely agreed. Speaking of people that were wearing and their decorated medals and ribbons and awards, I read a story this week and I immediately closed it because I couldn't even think about it associated with the show. But apparently, a bride had a black tie or a black tie optional wedding, right? And so one of the people in the service was coming to the wedding. So what did he do? Instead of dressing in a tuxedo, he dressed in his military garb with all of his medals and his awards and whatnot. And the bride actually sent him home. Oh. Just kicked him out, sent him home, said, no, you're trying to upstage me as the bride. Because all the people were coming up to him and saying, look, thanks for your service. I didn't know that you were in the military, blah, 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 blah. And the bride was like, no, you're not going to upstage me on my day. So get out of here.
Oh, has to believe. Oh, my gosh.
Talk about effed up, man. That's about as bad as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Like, it's okay to be mad at somebody for proposing at your wedding.
Yes, or wearing white. I mean, even that is whatever.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to look into a crowd and know that's the bride, not have to compete with somebody else who decided to wear white. Yeah. But yeah, if somebody's dressed to the nines, like, man, give them props.
Especially at a black tie optional wedding. I mean, exactly. Come on. He actually listened to you when you said black tie.
Yeah, exactly, because that's how the military folks do it. You say black tie, they know how to dress.
That's right. Man, they look good, too, whenever they're all dressed up.
Yeah, they had been beaten to submission, and they will get those shoes as shiny as they can get them.
You aren't kidding.
You learn a lot, man. How about a factoid, by the way?
Let's do it, man.
Filled everybody with education. Here's some more. To help airline passengers deal with travel anxiety, San Francisco International Airport hired the nation's first airport therapy pig in 2015. Lilu wears costumes and performs tricks to help travelers calm down before boarding their flights. That's ridiculous, but more power to you.
Yeah, go to San Francisco if you want to see therapy pigs.
Lilu the therapy pig.
I've flown into San Francisco two or three times and I've never seen Lilu, so I'm very upset.
Maybe it's a particular gate that he hangs out at. She hangs out at.
She, yeah. Maybe so, maybe.
I'm not.
Maybe Zapho is. I mean, he travels a lot. Maybe he's seen the therapy pig.
Maybe he has. I feel like this is news to everyone. They're all like, what? Therapy pig? This pig was probably there for 20 minutes one day and they're like, yeah, Richard's always there. That's all.
Therapy bacon. I love it.
Now that's what I'll take some of that.
You aren't kidding. Therapy bacon. I will eat bacon on anything is good. We were out with a buddy this past week. I was having dinner with a good friend of mine. And he cooked perfect steaks, by the way. Absolutely perfect steaks. And so they were like, well, why don't you bring a side? So, of course, I brought asparagus and I wrapped it in bacon. And the guy that my buddy, he does not eat asparagus. Does not eat asparagus. He took one bite of asparagus with bacon and he went back for seconds, thirds, and fourths. He just kept going back for more. So bacon makes everything better, including asparagus.
I wrapped bacon. I ate a bacon wrapped fig. Never had a fig in my life. I didn't know what the white creamy stuff was on the fig, but it was wrapped in bacon. And you better believe I ate that. And it was great.
Oh, I bet it was. Bacon is so good.
It just, like, if you drink a sip of coffee eat a piece of bacon and drink that coffee again and tell me that coffee didn't taste better.
Yep. I think it's the residual salt that's left on your tongue just opens up your you're right.
Salt and fat just wakes up those taste buds.
Delicious. I love bacon.
Oh, yes, I've been on bacon. Oh, there's bacon is everything you need.
Or deep fried bacon. Didn't you do deep fried bacon?
Oh, we did deep fried bacon. Remember we did it at the deep fried turkey? We threw bacon in there and it was.
We cooked it a little bit too long on that time. Yeah.
But it was great.
We're going to have to do that again.
So good. World news. Man steals $122 million from Google and Facebook by producing fake invoices. I just used QuickBooks and generated my invoice and sent it over.
Sent it to Google.
Oh, that's brilliant. A Lithuanian man managed to dupe two of the world's biggest corporations, Google and Facebook, by producing fake invoices, which the companies paid up without a shadow of a doubt. Evaldas Rimasauskas of Lithuania duped Facebook of $99 million and made Google pay up to $23 million between 2013 and 2015 by simply sending them fake invoices for things they did not even order and supporting his claims with forged paperwork and emails from corporate executives.
Isn't that amazing? Crazy? And by the way, you did fantastic with his name. I looked at that name and I went, Steven's going to have to read this one.
I got this. Rimasauskas produced false contacts, fake letters from company executives, and other documents to make his claims look legitimate. He even went to the extent of posing as a vendor from a Taiwanese hardware manufacturer called Quanta Computer Incorporated and registered a company with the same name in Latvia to boost his credibility. That's amazing. They should make a movie out of this. That's incredible.
This is a perfect movie.
No one at Facebook or Google thought of checking up on his $1 million claims, which he distributed across several bank accounts in Lithuania, Hungary, Slovakia, Cyprus, and Latvia. It was Google that finally discovered the con, and last week, Rimasauskas pled guilty to the U.S. wire fraud, aggravated identity theft, and money laundering charges. He has now agreed to forfeit $50 million, while it's unclear what will happen to the rest of the $73 million. Rimasauskas will be sentenced on July 29th. He faces up to 30 years imprisonment for the scam. Meanwhile, commenting on the matter, Google said, we detected this fraud and promptly alerted the authorities. We recouped the funds and we're pleased this matter is resolved.
That is corporate spin.
In 30 years, he's going to have $73 billion just waiting for him. And yeah, the corporate spin is terrible. Like
that corporate spin is so perfect. We detected this fraud, promptly alerted the authorities, and recouped our funds. Well, the matter is resolved.
It's funny. They detected the fraud and then promptly alerted the authorities. They didn't promptly detect the fraud.
Somebody
in accounts payable was like, $10 million. There you go, $7 million. What did we buy?
We fixed the glitch.
Yeah, it's fine. Oh my gosh, could you imagine the accountant that had to sign the checks? Like,
oh cool. I bet they've got to be fired.
He's so fired. So fired.
Be fired.
I mean, maybe not. Google. Yeah, they're fired. They're so fired.
They have to. Well, especially. I mean, $73 million is still left unaccounted for. And either the dude had one hell of a lifestyle for the last 10 years, or two, he's got that thing stuffed somewhere under his bed in the middle of Latvia somewhere. And he's just waiting to get out of prison so that he could go have some more fun.
Mattress money. So yeah. It says between 2013 and 2015. That means this guy has had 4 years of believing he'd made it out scot-free.
I wonder if there's any statute of limitations on this.
Evidently not, if he's got to spend 30 years in prison. But where?
Yeah.
You know, where do you – like, it's U.S. wire fraud. Are they extraditing him? That's a good question.
There's got to be some. And then, of course, can he be prosecuted in other countries like Latvia for setting up false companies, or like China for impersonating, or from the U.S.? Well, he's already getting identity theft.
Yeah.
Because he faked letters.
Yeah, but
there's
like
so many questions.
Hungary, Slovakia, Cyprus, and Latvia. I don't know what is a fake company, right? If I register an LLC and I don't do anything with it, does that make it fake?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's money, not fake. It just doesn't do anything.
No, it just doesn't do anything. The company itself didn't dupe Google as much as the man. I don't know. I don't know how corporations in other countries work.
Oh, I'm so – now I really want to find this out.
I know. Maybe we should see if we could get our interview with Rimasauskas and be like, dude, I know you're in prison and stuff, but I need to talk to you.
We've got questions.
We need answers. Like, how, first of all, cojones. Like, yeah. You've got them.
Bad cojones. Kudos for the bad cojones. Yeah. We have questions.
You have for big balls. Social engineering. Like, I've thought about trying to call in, like, fake. I can't even do a prank phone call. I get all tongue-tied. This guy went out and did Google, did extra corporations and tried to cover his tracks.
Oh, it's
incredible.
But here's the interesting thing. This dude's obviously a smart guy. I mean, he is a smart dude.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
These are the kind of people that we need solving the world's problems, not figuring out ways to steal money from corporations. This guy is a bright dude because he has figured out the system in such a way that he's able to dupe these companies out of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. He needs to use his powers for good and not evil.
Oh, man. I read this story and I go, wow, this dude is a smart dude. Damn it. He's going to be in prison for 30 years and he won't be able to help us with some of the world's biggest problems.
I know. He could solve global warming like today.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of global warming, and I gotta get on my high horse and my rant here.
Well, hold on a second.
I get on a rant, and it's got to be political. No one
really grinds my gears.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Steven, the major networks, the major news networks.
You're talking the CNNs and the Foxes and the MSNBCs and the CNBCs and the Fox Businesses and the NBCs.
Oh, my goodness. They're just the so awful. And so here's the funny thing. I was reading the headlines today, and Tucker Carlson, you know that the right-wing Tucker Carlson.
The giant marshmallow with a racist brain.
Yes. So he made a comment, and I am not agreeing with the man at all on anything that he has to say. But what he did say was this. He said that CNN is acting like a super PAC. And I started thinking about it for a second. And I started thinking about my experience from this past week. And I traveled this week, so I didn't have my Netflix. I didn't have my normal setup. So I was stuck watching crappy-ass television. And to watch an interview with the President of the United States, I don't care if he's right-wing or left-wing. It doesn't freaking matter to me. But to watch an interview with the President, you have to go on Fox News. He only takes interviews from Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or any of those kind of people. So if you want to listen to what your president has to say about anything at any given time, you have to go on Fox News.
Yes.
If you want to see anything about a Democratic candidate, you have to go on CNN. Last night, I was flipping back and forth between Fox News because I was listening to what President had to say about the Russia report, the Mueller investigation. And CNN, because I wanted to listen to what Cory Booker had to say, because he was doing his town hall little interview thing going on. And I'm like, you know, this Tucker Carlson's onto something here, because if you look, CNN is just they're basically the Democrats or the left wing, and Fox News, it's the right wing. And it's like, what in the world? They really are super PACs. Have we gotten here?
Yeah. Yep. We have. But it's not. I don't want to go too deep on this, but it's.
I really don't want to go too deep because I don't want this to turn into a political show tonight.
But I have thoughts because it matters. So it's gotten gnarlier in the last 3 years, obviously, or four years. Because I feel like when Obama was president, I was watching CNN. I felt like there was much more balanced perspective from CNN at the very least. Fox has always been kind of propagandish. It's gotten worse by far in just the last little bit. But I felt like CNN was my balance. MSNBC was always really far left. Fox was always really far right. CNN felt like they were in the middle.
Yeah, but I would agree with that statement. Previous to 3 years.
Right, but Trumpism has really jacked up everything. Yeah. I think CNN hates him so much for a lot of valid reasons that they don't want to see good ever, which has made it difficult. Because there are a few people at CNN that are, like, out to get it. Like this whole Russia thing, when they were like, oh, yeah, we can't find any collusion, the answer should be like, well, it ain't there. They had everybody on it, and we don't got the evidence. Time to move on. We can hate him for lots of other things that actually are happening right now. We don't have to hate him for stuff he might have done. We can hate him for things he's actually doing.
Yeah, no, just listen to the man talk for 5 minutes and you can hate him for those reasons of what he just said, not for something else that you're trying to dig up. I mean, come on, guys.
Like, I was like, we've actually cleared the air. We can forget this stuff because it's stupid, because it's gone, and we figured out that there's nothing, there's a lot of bad people in his circles, but there was not enough evidence to provide. And I'm like, okay, well, good. That means we can look at the other disasters that he's constantly throwing out there every day in terms of saying words that he shouldn't say. Like, there are lots of things to hate him over. We don't have to stop hating him. We just don't have to we don't have to go on TV and say, well, I don't care what the Mueller report says. There's 300 pages. There's got to be something in there. You can just
And the FBI must have found something, too, because they did an investigation. And the House Intelligence Committee did an investigation. There's got to be something there, too. And the Senate Committee did an investigation. There's got to be something there, too. And Mueller investigation, there's got to be there's smoke there, so there's got to be fire. And they're probably right. I'm sure that he was hanging out with the wrong people. And I'm not saying he's not innocent. What I'm saying is that, we may not be able to get him on this. So let's move on to something else, that one of the other billion things that he said that I'm sure could generate some more discussion points.
He made fun of a handicapped person.
Yes, geez, yes, Steven. That hurts my feelings just thinking about
it. Is that not all we need?
Like, I know.
Is that not it? Like, can that be the thing where we just go, that guy's a dirtbag, and move on and go, well, some people apparently like that dirtbag, and just...
Yeah.
See where we go from there? Like, you can't. There was enough there before he became president for us to stay mad for a really long time.
A really long time.
I'm going to grab somebody by the vagina. No.
Yes, he did say that. That's right. I forgot about the grabbing him by the vagina.
Because they're like, Russia. And you're like, no, we grabbed people by the vagina and made fun of a mentally or physically disabled human. He is not a good man. We have so many things that show he's not a good man. But you could say he's not a good man, but he's a great president. And I'm like, that's fine. Whatever you say, Mr. MAGA, that's wonderful for you. People disagree, but the only way to disagree and effectively is to just vote for somebody else next time.
Sure. And how about this? And Steven knows this about me. I am one to give credit where credit is due. 100%. If there is if Trump has done something that I feel has actually bettered the country. I mean, look at unemployment for minorities, African Americans, for Latinos, just unemployment in general. They're great numbers. I mean, they really are. The economy is doing pretty well. I mean, you got to give if you're going to give Obama the credit for the economy after 2008 and 2012 and all the way up, you got to do the same for Trump. And so, yeah, sure, there are things that they can tout that he may be indirectly responsible for, and things are going well. But at the same time, holy crap, that does not mean that he's innocent or is not a bad person. Just listen to the man talk for 5 minutes in an interview, and you'll realize, number one, I think Kelly's right. He's not smart enough to collude. He's not even smart enough to hold an interview with people because he can't coherently articulate a sentence to people. So I just don't get me started on this. I feel like we jumped down a rabbit hole, and I didn't want to go too deep because you
brought it up. You said I have to rant about something, and I gave you the floor.
But it was more crappy ass television.
Okay, there you go.
That's what I really wanted to rant about.
You really wanted to rant about the television, and somehow we ended up in Trump. I feel like
super PACs and the marshmallow.
I think here's the bottom line. It's not that it is for a lot of people, and a vast majority of people, it seems, at least if you look at the popular vote, what Trump's policies are, not what we want. But I think the thing that we all find equally upsetting is that there is zero poise or class in the office. And I think that's more than anything what irritates everyone, is that we used to have some poise. We used to have the ability to hold a conversation. We used to not be like, thank you for me at the prayer breakfast. Thank God I'm in power.
Thank you, God, for putting me in power of this country.
Thank God for my pancakes and my smartness and me. I think we need less of that. And I think if there wasn't that, shoot. I mean, he makes Bush look like a freaking genius. Nobody liked Bush, but Bush was at least like, hey, I'm down at ground zero holding a microphone, telling everybody let's do something. You know, like there was moments of humanity there. This person is so detached from anyone ever. Like, he won't go to an elementary school and read to kids. Like, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't know to. He has no concept of how people are supposed to be and what inspiration looks like and what leading looks like. He knows what bossing looks like. Why there's a revolving door. But he has no idea what it means to sacrifice yourself for the good of a greater majority, or to give of your own life to make sure that people have something they need. Has no idea what leadership of action looks like. And that's the problem.
So here's a question for you, Steve. Mm-hmm. You know, after presidents are presidents, they usually go out and they become leaders of people and charities, and they always just put themselves in good positions to do the right things. I mean, if you look at George Bush and what he did, I mean, he paints in his spare time, but he's always willing to go fight a cause. Same way with Obama. He's always willing to go somewhere to try to fight a cause and to speak up for the little people that don't have a voice. What do you think Donald Trump is going to do after he's president?
Go back to Mar-a-Lago and sit on his butt and pretend he has billions of dollars and everyone loves him.
I bet. I wonder.
He's not going to open a charitable corporation because he wants to.
Yeah.
It'll be because of some tax break or something some other mobster told him to do.
You know what I mean. The ex-presidents are usually ones who find like really, really difficult problems and just try to facilitate solving those problems. Like Bill Clinton had AIDS and water in Africa and clean water in Africa and quite a few other things. I mean, they always try to find these things to do. I wonder if Trump's going to have those things.
No. Biden wants to cure cancer. Like, that's his big jam. I mean, he probably wants to be president again or wants to try again first.
Yeah.
He kind of a gaffe machine, though. I don't know where that's going to go. But
yeah, we'll see.
Well, Tater and D. Wade will be on top of the 2020 election for you guys.
Oh.
And we'll just every Tuesday or something. It's Super Tuesday beautiful around here in the trailer park, and we about to talk about what's going on.
Oh, that's beautiful. Steven, 2020, Tater and D. Wade.
Tater and D. Wade, 2020. You look out now. We're going to be running.
We're going to find ourselves a 2020.
I'm going to get me a 2020 gauge, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm talking about. There's going to be 20 gauges all up in this place.
20 gauge, I will take care of some problems. Now, you need something solved, I'll solve it with some lead, baby.
That's right, baby.
That's how America does it. Small town news.
Polk County man fakes armed robbery to avoid going to work.
Where is Polk County? Is that Florida?
I don't know. Probably Tennessee, if I had to make a guess.
I think Polk County is, it's Florida, WFLA.com.
Oh, there it is.
There is a Polk CI. I know this because I work for Department of Corrections in Florida. I know where all the CIs and the P&Ps are.
Oh, that's beautiful. So have you ever done Florida Man?
Yeah, I did the Florida Man.
Your birthday?
I did the Florida Man Challenge, yeah.
No, that's pretty. What was yours?
Oh, what was mine? I tweeted it. I don't remember. It was man gets arrested for practicing karate in a city park, kicking swans. That was my Florida Man.
Oh, that's beautiful. What was mine? Here we go. I can't find it right now.
That's
whatever.
Okay.
Let me read the news and I'll find it later for you. A Polk County man is behind bars after deputies say he reported an armed robbery to get out of going to work. Brian Anderson, 32. I mean, he's right in that mid-30s range, so that's right when people get really disgruntled about work. Brian Anderson, 32, told deputies with the Polk County Sheriff's Office two unknown suspects had taken his money, necklace, and his phone before jumping into a car and driving away. Deputies responded to the scene, however, shortly realized it never happened. Anderson confessed he made up the story because he didn't want to show up for his 11 a.m. shift at the Hardee's where he works. The sheriff office joked in a Facebook post. On the bright side, Brian doesn't have to show up for his 11 o'clock shift at the restaurant. apparently, he's a pedigree thug, 41 felony arrests, 8 misdemeanor arrests, been in prison 4 times, says the Polk County Sheriff's Judge Grady Judd. Stephen Grady Judd.
That is a name. That is a country name if there ever was one.
Boy, that is a solid country name right there.
Mm-hmm.
Grady Judd. What if somebody really needed that deputy at a crash scene to do CPR? What if somebody really needed the deputy to save their lives? Blah, 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 blah. And he's got the deputy, patrol deputies, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Why's everybody got to be dying because the deputy was somewhere else? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's fine. But I'm 32 and working at Hardee's.
That should say something right
somewhere
there.
Along the way, a mistake was made.
Well, apparently. I mean, he's 41 felony arrests, 8 misdemeanor arrests, and been in prison 4 times.
Okay, yeah, so mistakes were made.
Lots of mistakes were made. It's he never learned from mistakes. That was the problem.
So I don't know. I'm a bad example of this because, like, I got out of college at, like, 22 and walked into doing desktop support for somebody. Like, I worked at CVS in high school. But I don't know what a real – like, what does an average career track look like when you just – like, how do you end up at Hardee's at 32? But I know people – there's people at Bojangles at 40, you know?
Yeah, but – so, Stephen, here is another problem. And we're about to get into another thing deep. Man, oh, we always get into
just,
deep.
We can dip our toe in. I know this is probably an inappropriate question and makes me a detached idiot, but I'm curious because I don't know.
So when you get out of prison, you are still guilty of whatever crime you committed. You did not pay for that crime. You are still guilty of it because it will follow you wherever you go, whenever you try to go get a job, if you try to go get a gun license, if you try to do anything, it will follow you forever. It will haunt you forever unless you have the money to get it expunged, right? So he's been arrested 4 times, a whole bunch of times. He's been sent to prison 4 times. Do you think he can find a job other than Hardee's?
No, they won't hire him. They won't hire people. Like my dad's company, like they're a blue-collar company. They can't take people who've had felony records. You know, and unfortunately, it's in the blue-collar industry, you find more of that than you find in, like, a white-collar college-educated industry. So, like, oh, you're on drugs. We got to send you home. Oh, you've got this felony. I need to go through these other candidates first that don't have felonies.
Yeah.
It's a real jacked up situation because you're right. You could have had that felony 10 years ago. You've been clean and straight and hadn't done anything crooked for a long time, but you got to write it on that application.
Yep. I mean, credit reports only stick around for 7 years, but your police record will stay around forever.
Man.
And you could never find a job if you've
People change, man. Oh, I remember back when I was 15, I was robbing liquor stores, but now look at me.
I mean, look at what you did last week in Red Dead Redemption. You robbed so many general stores in one day.
In one day. I like to act out my criminal tendencies in cowboy games. That's what I do. In fiction. I can write some gnarly fiction.
I mean, think about that, though. Even in the game, right? If you're wanted, you go pay your bounty and everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just pay it off.
You go kill some more people.
You go ride off, do something else. A person costs about $50.
Yeah, that's about right.
You pay it off. The Wild West was wild, wasn't it?
It was. I love that game.
That's good stuff. All right, man. Here we go. Here we go. We're going to do a special section for you. We're just going to let this ramp up here. But Tater and D-Wayne are interested in giving you guys a little bit of advice. We've got some questions that have come in from the audience here. And I don't know which one is more important to handle, but... First of all, let me get out of the way and let Tater and D-Wayne take this thing and roll with it.
You know which one's more important. The more important one's about getting the horse back in the stable. You know that.
You think? Well, so we got two questions right there. We got how do you lay down? Isn't that what that says?
It's how to get laid, not how do you lay down.
I'm about to say, how to lay down is pretty easy. I don't know anybody who's got that kind of problem. But there also is a problem with your horse out in the pasture there. Got to get it back into the stall.
Yeah, and that's a more important one, I think.
You think? That sounds about right. Because, I mean, everybody knows how to get laid.
Yeah, that's right. But if you lose your horse, you ain't going nowhere.
No,
I ain't going nowhere.
Did I tell you about the time I found myself all the way down to Bent Fork, Tennessee, trying to ride on back down the dirt road, no horse?
No, you ain't never told me that. What'd you do?
No, I was riding and I was trying to, you know, you carry your beer in your saddlebag, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I'm getting the beer out and I'm riding. I ain't got no hands on the nothing, you know what I mean? And I
just have a beer in your hand.
Yeah, I cracked the things up, ka-chank, you know, and that horse, he ain't been trained right. He didn't know. He took off running. I did a backflip right off the saddle, fell on my face in the dirt, spilled my beer everywhere, and that horse was gone, baby.
That's a pretty foul right there. Beer hit the ground. I hope you took it and licked it up.
No, I tried to scoop it back into the can, but it kept coming in with that dirt clod.
Oh, so it was like a clump. It was like a cat pee clump.
Yeah, but I ain't got the money to go buy more beer, so I took it in my dirt clod and I stuck it in my lip. Like a bunch of, like, snuff.
Oh, like a dip. I bet that would be a good dip. Just soak these dirt in the beer and then put it right in your lip, and then that would be a perfect little dip.
Yeah, I had me a little dip right in there, and I just sucked that beer right out of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, do you think they really do put fiberglass in that there dip?
Fiberglass in a dip?
That's what I hear. I hear they put fiberglass in the dip so that whenever you put it in your lip, it makes all these little bitty cuts, and then it gets all the nicotine into the back or into your system much more quicker.
Now, that sounds about right.
I think it's about right.
I mean, shoot, if it works, I do it. But anyway, so the horse takes off. I'm left out there. I ain't got nothing to do. And
right.
I mean, you got to catch it.
Yeah.
You know? And I tell you right to this day, Tater, I ain't never catch that horse. I had to walk all the way back till I could get me on my I could wave down somebody. My cousin Teddy picked me up off the highway.
Hold on, did somebody go get the horse for you? Did the horse come back?
I don't know, shoot, where that horse went. Probably went back to wherever he's from.
I bet Kelly got it. That's what I bet happened. I bet Kelly got it at her stable, and that's why she's asking us, how do we get that horse back in the stable? Because it's the one that you lost.
How you do it, Tater? He's an ornery fool.
Here's what I say you do. I say you go out to the woods over there, and you get yourself two really long switches, and you use your pocket knife, and you cut the switch down, and you make these extensions for your arms, and then you get your buddy, and he's got to get two, too. And then you try to wrap around the horse and just lead him straight to the gate. And you got your two arms with your two switches, and you link them together, and you make like a diamond all the way around the horse, and then you lead them straight into the stable. That's what I say.
That's brilliant, Tater.
Hey, look, man, I made it to the fifth grade.
Dang. You got to look at the brain on Tater. He's just going to go up there and walk right up to a horse with two diamond-shaped sticks, and
he's
going to bring it back to the barn. That's how you
do it,
Kelly. That's how you solve your problem.
That's how you do it.
Two diamond-shaped sticks. And that's how you're going to do it. Now, you need a buddy. I got a buddy.
You got to have a buddy.
Tater, my buddy.
Oh, yeah. If you called me, I'd be there with two switches in no time. I might spank you with the switches because you an idiot because you lost your horse.
No, watch out now. Now you talk about how to get laid again.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of, how do you get laid, Dayway?
I don't know. You marry one, they can't get away from you.
Well, then how do you marry him in the first place if you ain't getting laid before?
You just get your parents to call your cousin, tell her it's about time.
Oh, so what you saying is one of them there arranged marriages.
That's how you do it, baby.
All right, then.
Tater, Dwayne, out.
All right, then.
Well, that was good of old Tater and Dwayne to drop by and give us some important lessons for all of you guys.
Steven, the diamond switches to get the horse.
You guys think when you hear these segments that Tater and Dwayne are reserved for internet posterity. Me and Jacob are sitting by ourselves sometimes, and that happens. And it doesn't. It's out of nowhere, and I'm sure everyone around us is like, "Oh my gosh!" But we laugh a lot.
What just happened? That's what most people say. Did. What was the cue? What was the trigger? There was none. They just got around each other. Next thing you know, boom, there was a trigger.
found something. So, okay, I have to tell this little story about my kid. And I'm a proud dad of everything my kid does, as you should be.
Oh, as you should be. Sam's amazing.
He had a friend over this morning. This friend was staying with him for a little while his mom had to go do stuff. Stephanie's watching both of them, and then she sat them down to eat lunch, apples and chicken nuggets and carrots. And she notices the other kid, when he eats the apple, is like nibbling out the fat of all the apple and laying the peeling down on the table.
Like, oh, wow, that's weird.
She didn't unpeel it, so he was eating all that. And he'd lay it not back on a plate he picked it up from, but on the table. And then he would take the carrot and, like, eat some of that and then lay that on the table. Huh. And he's doing this for about, you know, a minute or two. And Sam is sitting there eating, like, the whole thing. And he looks over, like, with this really confused look and goes, "What happened?" And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I love my child.
He's just so perfect.
What happened? Like, are you nuts? What are you doing?
Oh, that's so beautiful. Steven, I got to brag on your kid, too. So Ashley and I go pick up Sam almost every Tuesday. We take him over to Chicken Nuggets at Chick-fil-A, and we just have a good time, whatever we do, right? And we've got a word that we use for chicken nuggets. What is it, Steven?
Nugs.
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 We're going to go get us some nugs. And so, of course, Sam loves nugs, right? So what did he say this past week to you whenever you were at the vacation about nugs?
What did he say? I don't remember. What did I tell you he said?
He said something about he nicknamed one of the things nugs.
Oh, the Moj Moj.
The Moj Moj. That's right. The Moj Moj. Nugs, because we get nugs on
Cheetah. Oh, yeah, our little cheetah Moj Moj. You're going to have to Google M-O-J, M-O-J, but they're these little squishy animals. And we put a cheetah one on the front of the dashboard of our car, so he's now our mascot anytime we're driving. Nugs is right up front.
Nugs.
And that's his name now. It's Nugs.
Thanks I love to Jacob it. I and love Ashley it.
And their influence on my four-year-old.
Well, and I think she even got Nugs for him, right?
Yeah,
she
did. I
think that was Ashley and her, you know, 8-year-old or really 3-year-old toys.
Yeah, she loves them.
She loves those things. I will tell you this. She goes once a week and gets a $10 toy from Target of whatever they are, Moj Moj or whatever, what the new recent toy is. That's a heck of a lot less expensive than the, you know, normal toys. Jewelry type toys.
Oh, I'm like, you're right.
Go get your Moj Moj.
You're actually very right. It is the cheap alternative to, like, I need more makeup and coconut oil to rub on my face.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this next story, Jacob. I'm excited to read this. News better left untold. Speaking of big wieners and big genitals Johnson's today, man was circumcised by mistake when he went to the doctor to get his bladder checked.
Oh, Steven.
That is not a thing that you want to happen to you. Generally, you do this kind of thing without your knowledge, and you just wake up one day and realize, oh, my wiener doesn't have a thing other people's wieners have. But usually you don't even know till forever later. A man who went to the hospital for a bladder checkup ended up getting circumcised by mistake. A National Health Service report says the unnamed patient went in for a cystoscopy, a procedure to look inside the bladder using a thin camera inserted through the urethra. Gross. Anything into the urethra is awful. And
especially with a camera.
I'll just die. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll take the death.
According to the report, the error was reportedly due to a simple paperwork mix-up. Oh, no. That's the most uncomfortable mix-up of all mix-ups.
I wonder. Hold on, wait. I wonder if somebody was, you know, running around the hospital and looking at the two rooms and just went, kluk, kluk.
Yeah, I know. They just take it like, what was it? Was it Ace Ventura or something where they're walking to the hospital and he just switches, like, two reports?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's awful. According to the report, the trust declined to comment on individual cases, but issued a general statement that they were generally sorry to the patients involved, and of course, we have personally apologized to each one. So one wanted to get circumcised and got a camera up his urethra, and the other one wanted to have his urethra cameraed. and got his wiener cut apart. I think one of those guys, one of those guys was better off than the other.
Yeah, one of them actually needed a true, genuine apology there. The other one needed an apology, but he's going to live.
Yeah, but I mean, now you're one of Abraham's children, and that's okay. The NHS has dubbed this a never event, or a very serious yet very preventable medical error that should never, ever have happened. This unfortunate mistake was one of eight never events that happened in 2018 at hospitals belonging to the University Hospitals of Leicester. Uh-oh. Your hospital chain needs some new processes. Maybe you need a Duke My Chart or an Epic health record electronic system instead of clipboards and pieces of paper.
Maybe so.
In an attempt to help medical practitioners learn from previous never events, the UK's National Health Service publishes lists and definitions of never events. Between April 1st, 2018 and January 31st, 2019, 423 such events occurred, including, you guys are going to like these, Botox injections being given to a patient instead of a nerve block.
What?
Wow.
What?
Laser surgery being performed on the wrong eye.
Oh, that stinks.
That's the worst. Ovaries being removed in error when the plan was to preserve them. And a patient receiving a colonoscopy that was intended for another patient. Now, that was just kind of funny. Like,
yeah, that last one's okay. But we're talking about, you know, ovaries being removed and circumcisions accidentally happening and laser surgery and on the wrong eye. I mean, these are not minor. I guess they call them major events for a reason.
Yeah, that's why when Stephanie went to get knee surgery, I was like, doctor, can you write like your name all over the knee that you're going to actually operate on? They do that because you've heard of people doing that, like having like the wrong leg amputated. They took the wrong ball out of a guy once.
Yeah.
He was going to have like one ball extracted because of a tumor, and they took the other ball. Had no balls.
Because then he had to get his second one removed.
Yeah, and then you're just on testosterone supplements for the rest of your life, and you got no balls anymore. So when they say, what's the matter with you? Don't you have balls? And he's like, no, I don't have balls.
I don't.
I'm a eunuch now.
Say something again.
Yeah, I don't have balls, but I'm taking twice the testosterone supplement that I'm supposed to. So I'm jacked up and angry.
Has anybody around you ever gone into a hospital and had things happen that shouldn't have happened?
No. I mean, I know people who have died in the hospital due to mismanagement of their situation. My grandfather was given something he shouldn't have been given, and it gave him another stroke, and he died. This is pre me being alive. He died before I was born. My mom's aunt, they did that stomach flush deal, the gut flush thing they do to people sometimes.
Oh, is that like to clear out some bacteria? Yeah.
But they took it, wiped out all the bacteria, and she got some major issues and died.
Died because of that?
Yeah, I think it was complications of other things that on top of it. I think my mom only told me about it. Like, she probably got to tell me again now that I've mentioned it on the show and she listens.
Whoa.
But yeah, that was a malpractice. The hospital when Stephanie was born broke her collarbone on the way out. And you know, that's always fun. So yeah, hospitals suck a butt.
Yeah, they definitely can.
Yeah,
they definitely can. I'm trying to rack my brain to think about a time when either a hospital or a doctor or anybody did anything. I mean, I'll never forget why I'm pissed off with doctors, but I don't think they've ever done anything really bad to anybody specifically around me. My very first memory, by the way, is of a doctor. Very first one. It's maybe why I have a little bit of a distrust with doctors and why I interview them. But my very first memory was I had my tonsils taken out because I couldn't sleep because I had swollen tonsils and adenoids. And so apparently I started like not breathing in the middle of the night because my air path would be clogged. And so they went and took them out, right?
Yeah.
So I go to surgery. And what I remember is I remember coming out of surgery after getting these taken out and the nurse and the doctor coming over to me asking me how it felt. And I said, I'm okay. And they gave me some ice cream and they said, it's going to take you a little bit of time because you can't really swallow because I know it's very painful. But the minute you finish this ice cream, you can go home. And that's when we know that you'll be able to swallow and you'll start to be able to move forward with the healing progress. And I'm like, okay. So what did I do? I grabbed the bowl of ice cream and I just stuffed it down because I didn't want to be there. I just did not want to be there. So I just stuffed it down and the doctor just looked at me and he said, well, maybe not. You're going to have to sit here for a little while longer. Go get him another bowl of ice cream. And I'm like, you a-hole. Are you kidding?
You lied to me.
You lied to me. I'm 4 freaking years old and you just lied to me. You jackass.
You told me I could go home.
That's right. You but know, yeah, that's...
My grandma kept my dad's notebook from when he had his tonsils out because he had a little notepad he could write on since they knew he wouldn't talk.
Okay.
His handwriting was some crap. That's all I really remember after looking at it. His handwriting was garbage. But I don't know, it's like 6 or 7 probably. And I'm like, your handwriting sucked.
Yeah.
Now he writes in block letters. My dad's handwriting's actually really impressive. He's a block letter kind of person.
I mean, do you toggle back and forth between block letters and regular letters?
I have. I prefer the look of my block letters, but I can't write very fast.
Yeah, you lose speed when you go block.
Yeah, you lose a lot of speed, but it looks really good.
If I want speed, I'm cursive.
Your cursive is impressive. I haven't written cursive actually, since fourth grade.
If I go like spend time with it, I can make it look okay.
Yeah, I kind of do like this middle cursive thing. I don't lift my pen much, but I write in print. So it's cursive, but it's not real cursive. It's Steven cursive, where I'm chaining letters together that will allow me to chain them because I'm lazy and I don't know. I like writing things. I like handwriting. I think it's a good practice. I think everybody should work on their penmanship.
I agree. Man, one of the best times that I had recently was with Steven, actually. We were writing out thank you notes for the St. Baldrick's, and we actually wrote a little letter to everybody. It was just a little handwritten note to everybody, and that was a lot of fun.
That was great.
I think we've lost the art of being able to send letters and communicate in that form.
Yeah, I really enjoyed writing letters. We made some good ones, and we also had chicken wings and did some trivia and almost won.
Just the two of us.
We were doing really great.
So what that tells us is that other people are the ones that are holding us back from winning.
Dead weight.
Dead.
We're going to drop them. We're not going to drop them. That's crazy. We love them to death.
You can't drop those two. No. Those two are amazing.
We need them. All right. News. Wait, this is WTF section.
Woman almost dies after injecting fruit smoothie into her veins.
Oh, that's awful.
No, God!
That's the worst. Why would you do that?
I feel like this is my nod to Ashley being here today. Not being here today. She needs to hear this story because she's all about the unconventional things.
Oh.
You lose! Good day, sir!
Good day, sir.
It's awful.
All right, here we go. Zhang, a woman from the Hunan province in the south of China, blended a smoothie of 20 different kinds of fruits and put the smoothie mixture into a drip. Steven.
You can't put stuff in your veins. Like, your stomach has to do a lot of work on that.
Yes.
And your intestines do a lot of work.
And there's a reason why there's a pH of 4 to kill anything that may be in there so that you don't get some bacterial infection and die.
Yeah, fruit can have garbage in it. I know it's good for you, but it can have garbage in it.
They're just dumb. Reports by South China Morning Post state that the 51-year-old woman thought that the fresh fruits were nutritious and it would do no harm to her. Zhang is into unconventional health treatments, and this seems to be one of the more unusual ones she decided to follow. Zhang didn't immediately suffer any reactions, but it didn't take her long till her arm started getting itchy and a fever set in. Fang, which I'm assuming is her husband,
tried
to keep her reaction a secret, but her husband eventually convinced her to go to the hospital. The doctors were shocked at her condition. Zhang had severe damage to her liver, kidneys, and heart, an infection, and was in danger of dying of multiple organ failure and sepsis.
Good Steven. Lord. Sepsis?
This I mean, is all the it worst. Is the septic shock. It's your blood goes, you got a bacterial infection in your blood and it goes septic.
And it kills everything. Dude, this is awful. Like, you could really die. And they have to pump you full of some extreme antibiotics that wrecks you. Like, they're trying to kill everything.
Here it is. The doctors at the hospital nursed a 51-year-old back to health after giving her antibiotics and anti-clogging medicine. And putting her on dialysis. Oh, shoot. They even had to completely clean her blood. I mean, for good reason. She just shot her blood full of fruit smoothie. You need dialysis to clear. I wonder how many times it clogged up the dialysis machine.
Could you imagine what the IV bag looks like? Still, like, blue or green? Like, yes. What are you doing there? Oh, I'm drinking my Jamba Juice.
Well, and how thick would it be? Because those needles typically are pretty small. I mean, you're talking about like a 27-gauge needle that goes into your veins or your arteries, right?
She must have a Blintec or a Vitamix. It's the only way you could get it fine.
She would have to mix it with a lot of water, too, because it's got to be more water. Because you've seen those smoothies, Steven. When you blend up fruit, it's not really water-like. It's like clumpy and thick, and it's hard to drink. Imagine trying to stuff that into your veins.
And why does she have an IV drip available to her at home?
That's a great question. Well, she probably bought it off the internet. She says she's into unconventional health treatments, and this was one unusual one that she decided to follow. So she probably just went online and went, needle, tubing, drip bag.
Just eBayed all three items individually.
Amazon, hand them to me next day. Hey, honey, we need to go to the grocery store. Pick up some fresh fruit. My bags will be here tomorrow.
Sounds about right. I've got to go do some stuff to get my health stuff ready. You know, I'm going to just sit on the couch and drink a Jamba Juice through my veins.
Steven, this is just dumb. This is dumb. How did we as a society get to this point, man?
I feel like, so you've been watching us do this show since episode like 350.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been a while.
We've been here for a long time. Nothing should shock us anymore. Like, this is just normal.
I've been getting show notes for a long time. Yeah. I don't even know how long, but it's
many
been a while.
Many episodes. Yeah.
And I'm the one that is the first filter, so I should not be the one saying, how did we get here? Because I've seen even the worst stories that I don't even bring up here.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
You've seen it. Oh, man. Well, that is it for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Even Jacob and I can't do this show in under an hour, and we want to try, and it just can't be done. I've determined that I'm the problem.
No, you're not the problem. We both like to talk.
No, that's the issue. We're just glued to this microphone. In fun news for you guys, Ashley and I have both tried to become attending professionals at Dragon Con this year.
Yes.
Don't know how that's going to go, but we sure put our names in the hat.
Oh, and same way with SuperCon, too.
SuperCon, yeah. We put in a panel for SuperCon to see if they'll take us and let us talk at people, which could be fun and terrifying all at the same time.
Yeah. But,
you know, we'll get there. It'll be great. Whatever. Thoughts and prayers.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers. See if we can get it, because that would be cool. I've never been an attending professional at anything, except for like my company's own conferences.
Now, do you get any special, dispensation or any kind of special, you know, front-of-the-line access to some of these things?
No. I think what you get is the ability to be on a panel if you're needed something like that. I don't know. I'm an attending podcasting professional. And, yeah, we get to be in the Attending Professionals Club with Kelly, who's actually a professional writer and can be an attending professional because she did something. But I was like, what separates a pro from a hobbyist? Because they're like, no hobbyist. I don't care if you've got 8,000 viewers. We want professionals. I'm like, we make money doing it. That's what separates amateurs and pros, right? Amateurs, no money. Pros, money.
Yeah. It may be pennies, but it's money.
It's pennies. I mean, we made a penny tonight thanks to Airwith. So that's money. So I don't know. I don't know what the differentiation is. But I know Scotty, who's in our Discord channel, he's a pro. He's a podcaster. He podcasts and does things just like we do, and he gets to be a pro. So if Scotty can do it, surely we can do it. Right, Scotty?
Yeah. Scotty Too Hotty. I wonder if like true professionals or I shouldn't say true professionals because that demeans the what we do here. Because I feel like y'all are definitely professionals. You've been doing it for 12 years. You've done it weekly for 12 years. You've gotten paid to do it for a long period of time. You guys are awesome at what you do. That is the definition of professional, right? But for somebody who I don't know, is it truly makes their living based on what they do? Would that be it?
No, I don't think so. There's people who are on these panels who don't make their living off of this.
Yeah, they just do it for shits and grins.
At best, it's supplemental income. I think it's maybe the way you treat it. I feel like we treat this show with professionalism. Don't you guys?
Well, you approach the show with professionalism.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily treat the show with
professionalism. Jacob and I and Ashley occasionally text each other about the show.
That's right, we do.
And that's important. That means background effort is being put in.
And every week, as producer, I spend a few hours making sure that I've got you the best show notes.
Yeah, you comb the internet. So mm-hmm. You could be a attending professional as well. You'd be like,
as a producer. I could be the attending professional producer.
I produce a podcast for my friends.
I know. Yeah. In my spare time.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll see how that goes. Hey, if you like the show and you think we're professional enough, you can give us 5 stars on your favorite podcasting service. A big shout out, thank you to the patrons over there at patreon.com/twodorks who are subscribed to us. Lucretia, Charles and Jewel, Og and Chip, you guys keeping this thing rolling.
If you amazing wanna, people, that's what they are, one and all, amazing
there you
people.
Go. If you want to join this amazing elite club of Patreon, awesome sauce, get over there, patreon.com/twodorks and throw your money in the ring to support us.
True. Very true. Oh, don't forget about Laundered Anthology.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, that's 31st, right? That's coming up Sunday.
This weekend.
Yeah, your deadline Sunday. So get those stories in to cursedragonship.com/laundered. Go there for details, I think.
Yep. That's what it is.
I'm pretty smart. Cursed Dragon Ship will get you there.
Cursed Dragon Ship.
Dragonship.com. So write that story in the weekend. Get it done. Also, follow us on Twitter at @2DorksTV, at @SteveH&H, and at @FateKills, @FateKills. Jacob is the only sane one of us who doesn't have a Twitter.
Right. Yep, or a Facebook or any other account on social media.
He did.
Have a LinkedIn now.
You have chosen wisely. Well, everybody's got a LinkedIn for when they want a job.
Yeah. I dove off the deep end there and jumped in the LinkedIn boat.
Yeah, you only won't get – people only update their LinkedIn when they're looking for a job or they get a new one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then they ignore it because it's just a bunch of headhunters.
That and it's a bunch of people that are trying to use it to do the upward spiral, 6-month new job upward spiral.
Yeah, so LinkedIn is stupid. But it's useful if you apply somewhere and they want to see what you're doing. Make sure that's up to date because they'll Google you. They'll do it. I've done it and I'll do it again. Hey, if you want to just tip us a one-time payment to say, hey, thanks for what you're doing and I had a good time, you can do that at twodorks.net/tip. Make it real easy for some PayPal. And that'd be great. And we'll leave you guys with these words of wisdom from Henry Ford. That's of the Ford Motor Company.
Yes.
He says, when everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. I like that. That's really good.
It is.
That's really good. Well done, Henry Ford. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week right here on Horseshoes and Hand Grenades.
Two doors.